to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. We will look tonight at the wisdom of keeping friends and the folly of bragging. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. For better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, help us to listen to the wisdom of your Son and desire it. Help us to be wise and make your heart glad. We pray that you would teach us to cultivate friendships and that you would keep us from all boasting. Help us, Father. Help us to listen and to pay attention to your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text contrasts the folly of bragging with the wisdom of friendship. And it seems to emphasize that instead of bragging about yourself, if you have a true friend, you won't have to brag. Your friend will be happy to tell other people how great you are. That's the contrast here. If you actually have friends, you don't need to brag. Also, if you actually brag, then you won't have friends, because most people don't like to be around somebody who's constantly boasting about how wonderful he is. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that the wise son preaches what he practices. Jesus did this. He didn't brag. He did cultivate friendship. And he's telling us in this text how to do that. Turn away from the folly of boasting and embrace the wisdom of friendship. It starts with the folly of bragging, especially two kinds of bragging. The first is the folly of bragging about the future. Don't boast about tomorrow. Now, the text isn't saying don't talk about tomorrow, don't plan for tomorrow, don't be ready for tomorrow. It's saying don't brag about tomorrow, don't talk up tomorrow. And there are a couple of ways we can do this. We can just lack humility in our planning. I am sure that exactly what I plan is exactly what's going to happen. And some of us never seem to learn, no matter how many times our plans get destroyed. We think this time the plan is going to work. Right? Don't plan in a prideful fashion. But another way we can go wrong is to always be talking with confidence about the future. We can be certain of something in the sports world, something in the political world, something in the world of entertainment, our family lives, our professional lives. I am definitely getting that promotion. I am definitely going to watch my team win the championship this year. Don't do that. Now, why does Solomon say, don't boast about tomorrow? Well, he gives us a reason. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. And this is just as true for the prognosticators as it is for the ordinary citizen. If you enjoy that kind of thing, you can go back and read all the things. This year was a year, it's nice round numbers, 2020, that attracted a lot of predictions. And for most of the past century, there have been various speculators who said, such and such we will have in 2020. Now, if you like that, you can go back and see how wrong they were. I subscribed to The Economist magazine. They sent a little thing in January, the world in 2020. And it didn't even mention many of the things that have dominated our thoughts in 2020, especially, of course, the coronavirus. Nobody knew about it on January 1st. At least nobody knew that it would make a big impact on 2020. Well, Proverbs has emphasized throughout that the key mark of wisdom is your ability to tell the truth. If you can't speak the truth, you are a fool. And so if you talk confidently about the future, if you brag up the future, then you are a fool because you're not telling the basic truth that you don't know the future. You constantly act like you know. If you talk like you know, then you're a fool. Our text doesn't say don't plan, it says don't brag. Don't get overwhelmed by certainty. I am so sure this is going to happen in the future. But on the other hand, don't get overwhelmed by uncertainty. You don't know what the day will bring forth. But nonetheless, the entire book of Proverbs is about how to behave, how to act, how to live in a wise fashion, even though you don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we do know that if we fear God and keep His commandments, tomorrow will be a good day. So don't brag about the future. But secondly, of course, don't brag about yourself. Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Now, there's lots of ways to do this. I think all of us are tactful enough to shun the obvious of just telling everybody, hey, I'm a wonderful person. I am so impressive. If you only knew what I've done, you would be very impressed with me. But there are other ways to brag. We can show off our stuff. Oh, do you know where I live? My neighborhood? My car? Do you know how much my stock price has risen this year? Do you know how I succeeded in this incredible thing? Right, there are certain people who seem to tell you every time you meet them how they led their company team to some goal. Or they have to recount how they solved the impossible. Or how they did such and such, broke such and such world record, rode their bike 250 miles in a single 10-hour stretch, or on and on it goes. Solomon is saying, don't do that. Jesus was not flashy or showy. Yes, he said, I'm the Son of God and I expect to be treated as such. But he didn't grandstand or brag or talk about how wonderful he was. And neither should we. Telling people how wonderful your wonderful self is, no matter how sneakily you think you're doing it, is not a mark of wisdom, but a mark of folly. Right? Your character and work should speak for themselves, and in fact, they will. And if one of the works you do is bragging about yourself, well, that speaks for you too. So that's the folly we should shun, the folly of bragging. The wisdom we should pursue is the wisdom of friendship. And that friend is already implied in verse 2 as the other one who's praising you, the stranger. Who is that? Well, that's a friend, somebody who thinks well of you and therefore speaks well of you. And the friend is mentioned outright in verse 10, don't forsake your own friend or your father's friend. So verses 3 to 10, at least one good way to understand them is under this rubric of friendship. They list a number of negative attitudes and practices that wreck friendship, and they list four positive attitudes and actions that sustain friendship. Instead of being a braggart, the sage says, be a friend. Now, how do you do that? Well, again, the main thing is to avoid certain antisocial behaviors. Number one is making people mad. A stone is heavy and a sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Now, that probably doesn't mean that the fool is a person with a lot of gravitas. And if you make him mad, look out. It might mean that his wrath can be very damaging. But the word can also mean a fool's provocation, which is what you'll see in the NIV. When a fool sets out to make you mad, he is going to succeed in a very impressive way. So let's think about some activity you positively loathe. I can think about watching television news. I don't care what channel, I don't care what pundit, I hate them all. They just make me mad. Now, if I imagine somebody coming in and doing that in my own house, taking it and turning it into a television news site, well, that's the provocation of a fool. Think about that thing that makes you upset, and then think about, wait, if I don't fear God, I can be that to somebody else. The fool makes others mad and likes making them mad. And if that's how you relate to people, then you are a fool. If you think that it's good to provoke people and get them all riled up, that's what a fool does, and it's harder to take than having rocks and sand fall on you. Expressing anger, another fool. Wrath, another act of folly that destroys friendship. Wrath is cruel. Anger, a torrent. Jesus is not cruel. Jesus does not overwhelm us with his rage. Yes, God does pour out wrath, like we saw in Lamentations. But that's righteous wrath. Most of the time, there's very little righteous about our wrath. My wrath is more like the peevish spleen of a junior demon than like the holy and righteous wrath of the Almighty. Righteous anger will not harm a worthwhile friendship. But unrighteous anger definitely destroys friendships. But what's worse than anger? Jealousy. Who is able to stand before jealousy? Now, what does the text mean by that? Well, friendship is the most inclusive kind of love. You have a friend, that friendship is enhanced by adding another friend. But if you're jealous, then you are attacking the nature of friendship, which is built around a shared community of interests. I love this thing. You love this thing. Therefore, we love it together and enjoy it more because we love it together. If that's the case, then you shouldn't feel jealous of your friend. If your friend tells you, I had a great time with this other friend, and you feel like, ooh, I don't like hearing that. I don't want you to have a great time with that friend. That's jealousy. And of course, if you let that go, that will wreck your friendship. Of course it will, because jealousy is the attitude that forces the issue and says you've got to choose. It's him or me. You can't have both. But friendship is the love that says, I can have both. I can enjoy both of you as friends, and you can enjoy each other as friends. Let me put it this way. Jesus didn't insist that John the Baptist make no disciples. There was no jealousy there. Another folly that destroys friendship, the folly of concealing your affection. Open rebuke is better than secret love. How will your friend know you like him if you never show any affection. If you never say, hey, it means a lot to me that we can spend time together. Thank you for taking time to be with me. If there's no affection there, the friendship withers up and dies. Because, well, I don't want to impose on you. If you don't like this, if you aren't in it because you love it, then it's not a friendship. It's some other kind of relationship. So don't hide your affection, but at the same time, don't lavish fake affection. The faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy are profuse as well. The enemy has many kisses. The enemy shows lots of affection, tells you all the time how wonderful you are. In fact, the enemy is more like the flatterer that we saw last week. Just kind of think, wow, this is the most affectionate one of all my friends. This person just couldn't even live without me. I feel really flattered. Well, if you're feeling flattered, chances are you're being flattered. Don't overdo it on the affection. That's no way to keep a friend. And really, verse 7 is simply stating the same thing as verses 5 and 6. It seems to move to a different subject. A satisfied soul tramples on the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. But it's talking about the two kinds of folly here, the folly of excess and the folly of privation. Friendship can go wrong by excess. That's what we just talked about. I want to be with you all the time. I want to talk on the phone for an hour every day. I want to do everything together. Well, you know, I'm sorry, that's not a friend, that's a stalker. But friendship can also go wrong the other direction. Well, I guess I last talked to him 5 years ago. Should I pick up the phone and call him? Nah. Well, what kind of a friendship is that? Someone without parental love thinks a gang is a good family. The friendless think that someone who initiates them into violent or perverted activities is a good friend. If there's too much in your life, you loathe it. If there's too little, every bitter thing is sweet. Every bad parody of friendship seems like the real deal. Solomon is saying, pursue friendship rightly. Well, how do I do that? Why is there no to-do list? So much on the negative. Well, as with the rest of Proverbs, the advice here is fear God and listen. If you do that, you will have plenty of friends. If you can fear God and listen to rebuke, you will have a friend. Another way to destroy not only friendship, but also family relationships, verse 8, like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Folks, you belong somewhere. Now this is not saying don't move somewhere else, it's saying don't wander. If you leave where you are because you don't like it, but you don't have anywhere better to go, you're wandering. You're out and just, well, I didn't like where I was, so I am going to leave it and see what happens. Well, if you do that, you're like a bird that left the nest. You're not going to prosper. Jesus left his home and came to earth, but he wasn't wandering. Why did he leave home? He came to earth for a particular time and a particular reason to save a people for himself. And that reason fed back into life in his Father's house. He left his Father's house in heaven to come to earth and ultimately to bring us all back there with him. He didn't wander from his home. He left for a reason that fed back into the home. And so it should be with us. Are you leaving home for the sake of home or because you hate home? If it's the latter, you're wandering. If it's to build a better home, that's good. That's what Jesus did for us. Finally, the last folly that torpedoes friendship is the folly of neglecting local friends in favor of distant family. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity, for better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. We all know these people. Can you come over? Oh, no, I've got a family event. You want to do something today? No, I've got a family event. You want to do something in 3 weeks? No, I've got a family event. You want to be my friend? No, I've got a family event. Right. They might as well just say it outright. Solomon says that is folly. Don't forsake your friends. Don't rely exclusively on family. In the day of calamity, yes, the brother is the gold standard for reliability. There is nobody like a brother, but a neighbor nearby is better than a brother far away. A local friend beats distant family. Well, that can be a hard lesson to learn. It's easy to resent it when somebody you want to be friends with appears to have so many family commitments that they have no time to be your friend. But on the other side of that, it's also easy to say, well, my family just knows how to be my friend. They understand what needs to be done. They're easier to relate to. I don't have to make friends with them. I've already done that. I put in the work up front. Solomon says, too bad. Don't forsake your friends. And that means, as well, making generational friendships, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Again, the best example of this, not neglecting local friends, is Jesus on the cross. What did he do with his mother? His brothers are listed in the New Testament. If I'm remembering correctly, he had four brothers and two sisters. On the cross, he doesn't say to his brothers, hey, take care of mom. And who does he commit his mother to? He commits her to the care of John, who's not a relative, who is one of Jesus' friends. Now, you could say, well, maybe his family wasn't local. Maybe they were all back in Nazareth and he's being crucified in Jerusalem. But, again, that's exactly what the text is saying. Don't rely so heavily on family that you fail to look to your friends, that you fail to cultivate your relationships with them, even in something very important like commending your mother to somebody's care after your death, or deciding who would take care of your children in the event of your death. Friends are worth keeping. So, what do to make friendships? These are eight negative things, foolish attitudes that wreck friendships. Positively, the sage does mention a couple of wise things that sustain a friendship. The first is obviously stop doing the bad things that he talks about. Don't be angry. Don't make others angry. Don't be jealous. Don't give too much or too little affection. And it also then seems to say give appropriate praise and affection. Again, verse 2, let another praise you and not your own mouth. If you're that other for somebody else, speak up. Right? Say, this is my friend, and he is really good at that. He has some great talents along those lines. She is just the person you're looking for. Here's one of my friends who I think would be a great friend to you. Do you praise your friends? Are you the stranger who speaks up and says a good word for somebody else? Give appropriate praise and appropriate affection. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Don't let your love be secret. If you like somebody, let them know. If you want to be friends, just say, let's be friends. Don't beat around the issue and try to pretend that, well, I don't like you that much. I don't know if I want to be your friend until I know whether you want to be my friend. Be bold. And also give congenial advice. Verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. The verse seems to be saying that the advice of a friend is as welcome as the smell of perfume. If you talk to your friends, well, if your friends call you and say, what do I do? You say, here's what you do. This is my advice. In a close friendship, oftentimes that advice will be very welcome and very delightful. Now, it doesn't mean that your friends will always follow your advice, but oftentimes they will appreciate it. They will like it as much as the smell of perfume. So give congenial advice and also rebuke. Open rebuke is good or better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What kind of wounds? A true friend will call you out when you need it. Now, a true friend will not call you out all the time over every little thing and constantly be on your back telling you to shape up here and there and everywhere. But a true friend will say, nope, you were out of line there. You should not have said that. You should not have done that, right? The true friend kicks you under the table. The true friend pulls you aside and says, no. That was not well done. Go and make that right. To be a friend requires that you rebuke somebody oftentimes. Well, finally, invest in and maintain generational relationships. Don't forsake your own friend or your father's friend. If somebody was a friend to your parents, keep up that relationship. Don't let it go. Don't say, and I've seen this often, oh, that's mom and dad's friend, not mine. Wrong attitude, the sage says. If that's your mom and dad's friend, that's your friend. And you treat them as such. You share your life with them as much as possible. Friendship should run in families and be passed down. That's how God works. He works through the natural structures of life, including, especially, the family. He's made us His friends in Jesus Christ. And so, children, if your parents are friends of God, you should be a friend of God. And parents, you should teach your children to be friends of God. His help is better than a neighbor's, better than a brother's, a neighbor nearby. Well, who is a closer neighbor than the God who is everywhere? So, brothers and sisters, forsake the folly of bragging. Embrace the wisdom of friendship. The grace and friendship of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Father, we thank you for your Son telling us that we are his friends, that he no longer calls us slaves who don't know what the Master is doing, but friends who understand the plan. Lord, help us to be friends of God. To seek to understand who you are and what you're doing. And help us to cultivate earthly friendships. to delight in and enjoy one another as friends together in your kingdom. Help us to say kind words about each other, to be the other one who praises, and deliver us from this folly of boasting about ourselves. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the true friend, who sticks closer than a brother. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.